Morning. Today's daf in Nida Samachay. We are on Samach Dalam and Beis. We started the 10th parak yesterday of the Masech. The 10th parak dealing with the topic of Dam Besulim, the blood that comes not from the uterus, but blood that rather comes from the hymenal sac. A woman is born with the Dam Besulim, and the first time she's with her husband, so the Dam Besulim is going to rupture, and that's going to be bleeding. But that's not blood that makes her tummy. That blood is Dam Tahor, and so she has relations with her husband for the first time, and she's bleeding, she's not in Nida. So that part's easy, that part's been established. But the complication in the beginning of the Perek, in the first Mishnah, deals with the following. How do I know when it's no longer Dam Besulim, and how do I know when it's Dam Nida? These are all bloods that are coming from internal sources, and so it's not that easy to determine what exactly the source of the blood is. And so as a result of that, there comes a point in time where it's not Dam Besulim. We know we can't say comfortably that it's Dam Besulim, and we have to consider the possibility that now it's Dam Nida. So when do we hit that point? So the Mishnah yesterday broke up a woman into three developmental stages. The developmental stage number one, Tinokish Lo Igia Zman Liros. We're talking about a girl who has not yet reached physical maturation. She has not hit the point of puberty yet. And as we learned yesterday, and even if she did see at that point in time, but still she said such a physically immature age, so we're not expecting Dam Nida to come. As a result of that, so she's extended a comfortable period of time in which any blood that comes out of her is going to be qualified as Dam Besulim. What's that point in time? So in all stages of Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but we're going to assume like Beis Hillel, and so... according to Beis Hillel, Achetichya Amaka, until the wound is healed. The Gemara gave yesterday definitions. Rav and Shmuel gave both of them definitions exactly how we're going to know when the wound is healed. But in other words, it's basically indefinitely until we know better. Now, I say indefinitely, by the way, keep in mind that eventually she's going to physically mature. She's going to get to the point of menstruation. So, but at this stage of her life, so she can be with her husband, and there is no set time in which she can no longer be with him until the wound is healed. That's developmental stage number one. Developmental stage number two is Higia Zman Liros, where she gets to the point where she's able to see, but she has not yet seen. So in other words, she got to the age of puberty and the age of menstruation, but she hasn't started menstruating yet. Under those circumstances, Beis Hillel says she gets to be with her husband for 4 nights. For 4 nights, we could safely assume that the blood that's coming out is Dam Besulim. It's not going to be Dam Nida. From that point going forward, we no longer can safely assume. That is stage number two. Developmental stage number three is Higia Zman Liros V'Ra'asa. She gets to the age of menstruation. She started menstruating. So then according to Beis Hillel, you give her Laila Rishon. You only give her the first night, but the entirety of the first night. And that is the positions of Beis Hillel as we go through stages one, two, and three. In the course of yesterday's Gemara, we first covered the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that even at the first stage, even if she did already see, but that's such an anomaly, we don't really count that. Number two, the second point that we already covered yesterday is Achetichya Amaka. What's the definition of Achetichya Amaka? So Rav and Shmuel both give definitions, we went over yesterday. And number three is when she's in the second developmental stage, in which she's given 4 nights. Exactly how does that work, 4 nights? Let's say that she and her husband, her new husband, are together during the day. Would that take away one of the evenings? Gemara discussed that, deliberated over that. It's a machlokus between Rav and Levi. That's what we ended with yesterday. Why would the Mishnah say 4 nights up until Motzei Shabbos? So we learned yesterday, that this is the last thing we mentioned yesterday, that even if the first night of Bia is with a new husband and new wife, is going to be on a Friday night, that would be okay, even though it would be a rupturing of the Dam, even though it would be taking away some of the Dam Besulim. It's a Devashen and Miskavin, it would be Mutter, and this is where we ended off with yesterday. Itmar. It's about 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's in the middle of the line. Bavala Masadam. So let's say, new husband, new wife, are having relations with one another, and there was no Dam, there was no Hotzas Dam, and V'chazer Baal Masadam, and then they have relations the second time, and there's Dam. So it's a little bit strange. Meaning, if there was Dam Besulim, it should have come out the first time. If there's no Dam Besulim, so what's happening at the second time? Presumably the second time is Dam Nida, right? So the Gemara brings down a machlokus on this very point. Rabbi Chanina Amar Tamei, Rabbi Asi Amar Tahora. So Rabbi Chanin and Rabbi Asi are debating. Rabbi Chanin takes a stringent viewpoint that is she is a Tameya, and Rabbi Asi says she's Tahara, and the Gemara explains both of these positions. Rabbi Chanin Amar Tameya, Di'imisa Dahava Dam B'Salam Mikara Havei Ase. So Rabbi Chanina takes what seemingly is a very reasonable approach. If there was Dam Besulim, it would have come out the first time they had relations by virtue of the fact that it did not come out the first time. It means that there was no Dam Besulim. As we pointed out yesterday, it could break prior to getting married, not because she was with another man, but simply because she was riding a horse, what the Gemara described in other places as Mukas Eitz. So, okay, fine. So she didn't have a Dam Besulim, fine. And strong evidence supports this because that the first time they had relations, so there was no blood that came out. So there's no Dam Besulim. Okay. So the second time they have relations and now there's blood, presumably it's Dam Nida. Okay. That's Rabbi Chanina. Rav Asi Amar Tahora. Dilma Yisrael Melech Kedishmol. So Rav Asi says, no, she's Tahora. Why? Because it's possible that she had Dam Besulim and it's possible that no blood emerged the first time they had relations. The Gemara here cites the practice of Shmuel. That's right. It's a funny thing to be assigned to, this kind of practice, but Damer Shmuel Yecholan Limbol Kama Bilas Below Dam. Okay, the statement sounds a little strange, right? But Shmuel basically says, look, if you come in at a certain angle, so what you could do is that you can make penetration at the same time not rupturing the hymenal sac, and it's possible. It's within the realm of possibility. And Shmuel says that actually he had a certain proficiency on this matter. And again, Shmuel's a resident doctor. He knows the anatomy. He knows the biology very well. And so the Gemara says he could do it. And so it's possible. So within that framework, it is within possibility to have relations, not rupture the Dam Besulim, but there's still Dam Besulim. And the second time they had relations and now there's blood, it could very well be that it's Dam Besulim. Now, what's the counter argument? Well, you probably could figure it out. The Gemara is going to spell it out. V'idach Shani Shmuel Rav Guvrai. Shmuel remains an outlier in this discussion. He does not represent the norm. The norm is that a man is going to be with his new wife, and if there's Dam Besulim, there will be penetration, there will be rupturing, and the Dam is going to come out. As far as Shmuel's practices are concerned, so he is an outlier in this whole discussion, and he does not represent what most probably happens between a man and a woman. Okay, so... I don't know.
I mean, saying no, make it sound like he was wanted to do that. You know.
I understand. I don't know. Amarav Bogeres Nosalam Laila Rishon. Okay. Here's what we discussed in the Mishnah and what is left undiscussed and will be discussed right now. In the Mishnah, we talked about three developmental stages, but we really didn't. Meaning, if we could further distill the Mishnah, it's really we're described as a Ketana and a Nara. Ketana, a woman who's prepubescent. A Nara, a woman who just emerged into her puberty stage. But that's it. Meaning, and even though in the Mishnah, and I just reviewed it, we described three stages, but we really didn't. Meaning stage number two and number three are both Nara. It just happens to be is Nara where she didn't start menstruating, Nara where she did start menstruating. But really we describe three different, we only describe two stages of a woman. And as we know, there's a third stage of woman. That's a Bogeres. Now, the Bogeres is a woman who has reached full developmental maturity. Right? Earlier in the Masechta, we talked, we gave an analogy of basically what it's what these stages are physiologically. Halachically, we all know the differences between Nara and Bogeres. Meaning, Ketana, she's a minor. She's 12 years of age, and she has her Simanim. She now is a Nara. For Halacha, as far as Halacha is concerned, she's an adult. In terms of certain financial issues, she's still subordinate to her father. Her father still has jurisdiction over her financially. And then, and also in terms of Nadarim as well. And then when she passes the threshold, 6 months later, at 12 and a half years of age, she goes now from being a Nara to being a Bogeres. So she's still an adult, meaning adulthood already occurred at 12, but now she becomes financially independent. So aside from the financial independence, she also has reached another physiological maturity plateau. And as such, now the Gemara is going to be discussing what of the Bogeres. If a husband now marries a woman who's a Bogeres, imagine she's 12 and a half years of age, right? In the time of the Gemara, an older woman. So so what is the ability that a husband could be with his wife under these circumstances? Now, everyone here has noticed the trend. I've noticed the trend. In that the younger that she is, the more time we can assume that's Dam Besulim. And the older she gets, So the less time now we can assume that's Dam Basulim. We have to be concerned that's Dam Nida. And everyone has seen the ark, right? When she's a Katana, Achitichi Amaka. When she's a Nara who has not yet seen, 4 nights. When she's a Nara who's seen, 1 night. So now, if you're following the trend, so now we're talking about a Bogeres, so I can easily guess that we're going to have even less time. Okay. Amarav, with all that stated, Bogeres, no stone la Laila Rishon. So when it comes to the Bogeres, so you give her the first night. Vihani Mile, now I'll tell you the truth, the following is not clear. The Gemara now is going to throw in a qualifier of Rav. Is this Rav himself throwing in the qualifier? Or is this the Gemara qualifying on the statement of Rav? It's not perfectly clear, but Bogeres no son la Rishon, Mahani Mile Shlo Rasa. That's only talking about a Bogeres who is not yet seen, which admittedly, from the Gemara's perspective, and ours as well, is a bit of an oddity. Meaning she's already been an Ara for the last 6 months, and now she's a Bogeres, and it's unexpected that she hasn't seen. But if she has not yet seen, and she's a Bogeres 1 night, Ava Rasa, but if she saw, Ein La Ella Be'ilas Mitzvah. So all you have is Be'ilas Mitzvah. The husband can be with his wife only for that first time, and that's it. Then afterwards they're Poresh, and they cannot be again, with the concern that from that point going forward, it's not Dam Besulim, but rather it's Dam Nida. Okay, now it's pretty much what we expected to happen. Meaning again, assuming this trend of less time is given where we can comfortably say it's Dam Besulim, so you're going to have to go down. So if we went from Ashitichi Amaka to 4 nights to 1 night, so then at the point of Bogeris, obviously it's going to be less, and as expected, it actually is less. So instead of being the full night, which is a Nara who saw, now the Bogeris who saw, it's going to be just Bilas Mitzvah, and that's it. Vesulo, the Gemara says, but consider the following Meisvei, and the Gemara is going to be challenging based on a Braisa. Now the Braisa is going to be episodic, meaning it's going to tell us a particular scenario that occurred. And the Braisa gives us very few details, and so the complication of the upcoming Gemara is that we're going to try to sketch out what exactly happened in the incident. Well, here's what we know. There was a newlywed husband and wife, and because of circumstances, so Rebbe allowed them to be one another 4 times in the first year of marriage. Okay. That's all the information we got. We don't got any more information. And so now, basically, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to figure out, fill in the blanks, what happened over there. Why is it that Rebbe only allowed 4 nights over the first year of their marriage? Now, obviously, he's been away for a very long time. Meaning, why in the world are they only having relations 4 times in the first year of marriage? So he was traveling. Okay, that part's clear. The point over here is the following, is that when he came back after a long travel, right? We're assuming over here 3 month travel time. So when he came back after a long travel, so he's now with his new wife, he turns to Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, what would be the status? Can I be with my wife? And Rebbe allowed in the first year where they had 4 opportunities to have relations with one another. So he allowed them to be together 4 times. Okay. We have absolutely, aside from the fact that we know that he traveled for a long time, we don't have any context whatsoever. How old was this woman? Okay. In other words, if she was a Katana, So then we can understand, meaning the Dam is Dam Besulim. But the point, however, that clearly the Braisa is making a particular point because it's talking about 4 times in 1 year. So what exactly is the context? So if we're talking about that she was a Katana over the course of this year, so what is the significance of 4 nights? There is no significance to 4 nights. In other words, we know the threshold in which the husband can be with his wife, who's a Katana, is Achitechi Amaka. We're assuming like Beis Hillel. And that means that you have until the wound is healed. So there's no 4 nights, meaning it may have been 4 nights, but halachically, that's a perfectly insignificant number. It's Achitechi Amaka. So Ela Di'ayiv La'kula B'Yimei Nara. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that he was married with this woman while she was a Nara, and now at least it makes somewhat sense. Now, it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be really imperfect. But at least it makes sense. Because what do we know about a Nara? Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah told us that when a man marries a woman and she hasn't yet seen, so he could be with her for 4 nights. Now, normally, it's the first 4 nights of marriage. But over here in this scenario, he went away for a very long time. So after the first night of marriage, he went away. Admittedly, by the way, that's strange. There's something called Sheva Brachos, right? There's something called Shana Rishona. I know it's strange that he went away for such a long time. But, okay, after the first night of marriage, he's like, okay, I got to go. I'll be back in about 3 months. I'm sure you understand. Okay, whatever. All this is not the point. Okay, all this is not the point. The point is, however, is that Rebbe gave four allowances. Now, if she's a Nara at the time, so in this regard, it makes sense. In other words, four nights, now the Mishnah says Ad Motzei Shabbos, but the Mishnah was assuming that it's four consecutive nights. Over here, it wasn't four consecutive nights, but so what? The point is that by the stage of Nara, we assume that the Basum will be there for the first four times of having relations, and over here, it's just spaced out over a year. That's where we solve the problem, but we really haven't. Why? I'm sure everyone here knows and has already figured out the complication with the solution. Naris is not a year. Naris is only a six-month period of time. So there's no way that the Price's case over here, Rebbe's allowance of four times over a year is when she's a Nara, because she's only a Nara for 6 months. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. So the Kulo Bimei Naris, Naris Yud Beis Chodesh Me'ika, it's not 12 months. Vahamar Shmuel. In fact, Shmuel himself says, "Ein bein naris lebagrus ela vavchadash and bavad." It's only 6 months to go from narit to bogaris. V'chitei mebasim achiu deleka atfei ika. Now you're going to suggest that maybe it's more than 6 months. It's not more than 6 months. Hal bilvai kamar. Go back and reread Shmuel's statement of two lines ago. It says that naris is only 6 months. So okay, so that's not going to be a solution as well. So right now we are struggling because we know that there's a scenario in which Rebbe allowed this husband to be with his wife four times over the course of the first year, and we're trying to come up with a scenario in which, why a four-day allowance? So, Ela di'ayv la'shtayim b'mei katnus, u'shtayim b'mei narus. So the Gemara says, okay, so two times while she was a katana, and two times while she was a nara. Now, the Gemara says, this is the explanation of Rebbe, and this too, although sounds like a wonderful solution, is also really imperfect. Why? Well, first, before I get to the imperfection of the solution, the problem with the solution, let me first point out why it seemingly solves the problem. Because we're looking for a scenario in which four times would be, and it's only going to be four times. So two times when she's a katana, fine. So, and now we already know that during her katana, she could be many times. In other words, there is no set amount, ashtechiamaka. But the scenario over here is the two times when she was a katana, and again, another two times when she was a nara. And now that gets her to her four-time limit when she's a nara. That is the suggested solution. It's not a good solution. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem with that solution, and that is the following. Look. What happens when a woman is married where she starts off in stage number one, katana, and then within the first year of marriage, she enters into the second stage of marriage. She enters into the second stage of her development, i.e. she's an ara. Okay, and so it's a really simple question, and I'm sure it happened all the time back in the day, meaning she got married at 11 and a half years of age. Fine, so that means that 6 months later now, she's going to become a nara. So, and she'll be an ara now for the next 6 months, and so for her first year of marriage, she's going to be a blend of a katana and a nara. Now, here's the question. So we know that while she's a nara, there's a four-time allowance where she could be with her husband, and that's it. Now, again, if they're consecutive nights, so it goes from Wednesday night to Motzei Shabbos. But let's just, for our purposes right now, we're calling it a four-night allowance. Okay. Now, she was with her husband while she was a katana. And again, how many times can they be together? There's no set amount. And there's no set interval of time. And let's say the wound has not yet healed. So it could very well be that they were together many times while she was a katana. Fine. How does all that affect now when she enters into the stage of Nara? Meaning, how do we count all those bias while she was a katana, now as she enters upon Nara? The Gemara gives a very definitive answer. That counts as one. That's one. So that means to say now, with a four Bia allowance, so for Ona allowance when she's a Nara, so one is now taken for all those times that she was a Katana. Okay, 4 minus 1, 3. That means now there should be 3 allowances when she's a Nara. Here's, and this is exactly the problem with the solution. Meaning the Gemara says, oh, two times when she's a Katana, two times when she's a Nara. No, what do you mean? If they had relations two times when she was a Katana, when she's a Nara, how do those two times count? It counts as one. So since it counts as one, that allows for three more times while she's a Nara. And so therefore, our solution of four times during the first year, it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, okay, here we go now. So here's our third attempt of solving for the Braisa. So the Gemara says like this. So we're going to say that one time was while she was a Katana, two times while she was a Nara, and then one time while she was a Bogeris. That's the case of the Braisa. Okay, now, you've noticed, by the way, that the Braisa, the Gemara's been assuming all along that the Braisa is evenly distributing the Bias over the course of the year. Now, it's interesting, just I'll make this point quickly because I don't want to sit too much on this point, but Rashi says that there's a three-month interval between each Bia. Rashi's numbers are slightly imprecise because if we're talking about a three-month interval, meaning Bia, three-month interval, Bia, three-month interval, so if it only takes 9 months then to have a relations four times if you're working with that kind of interval of time. Okay, so it's... And this point is made by Tosos. You can see the second Tosos over here on the Amud that makes that point. Anyway, let's just, for simplicity's sake, without using a number, let's just say that right now the Gemara is assuming that in the course of the year, the four Bias that were allowed by Rebbe were evenly distributed over the course of the year. And that's why, here's what we're now suggesting. One Bia occurred while she was a Katana. Then she turns to becoming a Nara, where four are allowed, the one already counts as one, so that means three more are allowed. Two were given to her while she was a Nara, and then she becomes a Bogeris, and one more when she's a Bogeris. Okay. So far, so good. I totally understand that this Gemara over here is a little bit challenging, it's a little bit complicated. It's only going to get a little bit more complicated. Okay, just a little bit more. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, now by a Bogeris, now I know that Rav was quoted as saying by a Bogeris she's given one night. But right now let's change that assumption. Let's assume that a Bogeris is given two nights. Why? Why would we want to assume that? Because now it makes a lot more sense. Because remember what we did for all the Bias while she was at Katana? All of them basically, from a Nara's perspective, are counted as one. And so therefore it gives her three more while she's a Nara. So the Gemara now is assuming, you know, the same thing happens when she goes from being a Nara to being a Bogeris. What we do with the Nara Bias is we take all of them, and from a Bogeris standpoint, we count it as one. Now, if the number while she's a Bogeris is two, so then, Bishlama. It's really good. Why? Because all the Bias that she had historically, remove one from the two that she's allowed, and so therefore... 2 minus 1, that's 1. That's very good. Meaning Rebbe gave an allowance while she's a Bulgaris to be with her husband for one more Ona. That only makes sense if the number originally was greater than 1. It was 2. However, and let me just read it inside the Gemara. Fine. So that's what the Gemara now is suggesting. However, but let's say the Bogeris, the number is one, like Rav suggested at the beginning of the whole sugya. So the Gemara says, so then, what are we looking at? They had relations while she was a Katana. They had it one time. Fine. So that means three more are allowed for her Nara stage. They had relations during her Nara stage. It happened to have been two times, but fine. So that means that there was an allowance that was given while she was a Bogeris. Oh. And there was only one allowance But if the starting point for the Bogeris is one, and she already has historically relations with her husband, and all those relations we're basically going to call one, so what's one minus one? Now, I know, right? I know we're higher math today. So one minus one is zero. But the Gemara is not going to entertain zero, because in other words, there's still an allowance for them to have relations one more time. So you know what we'll do for 1 minus 1? We're not going to take away the whole Ona, but we'll allow just for one more act of Bia. That's what the Gemara's suggestion is. If by Bogeris you're only starting off with 1, Lo leisiv le ela be'ilas mitzvah v'sulo. It should only be be'ilas mitzvah and nothing more than be'ilas mitzvah. And so we are right now stuck with this case of Rebbe. Because Rebbe talked about a husband and wife who were together for a year. Again, assuming even distribution. They had relations in the beginning. And then sometime, I'll say 4 months later, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the interval is. 3 to 4 months later. Another time, 3 to 4 months later. Another time, 3 to 4 months later. And so in the course of that first year, 4 times. And right now, the Gemara has not yet solved for what exactly would be the scenario. And again, just to quickly review, if she's a katana, it's you don't cap it at 4. And if it's nara, well, nara only lasts 6 months. And if it's a combination of nara katana, sorry, let me do that better. If it's a combination of katana nara, so then she should be given 3 occurrences, 3 times during her nara. And if it's a combination of katana, nara, and bogeres, so by the time she gets to bogeres, assuming that you're only allowed 1 to begin with, so all the previous times should take away from that 1 and only bring it down to a bilas mitzvah. And so therefore, we are right now at an impasse. How did you understand the case of Rebbe? La'olam di'ayv le'achas b'mei katnas v'gimel b'mei naras. So the Gemara says that we're talking about where it was 1 time while she was a katana, 3 times while she was a nara. Why didn't we like that solution? Nara only lasts 6 months. The Gemara is saying, yeah, but let's change our assumption. We assumed even distribution of the 4 occasions over the course of the first year. The Gemara says, okay, we'll just change that. We'll change that that assumption. Gemara says, Misarv is called Tlasa Yarche Chada Ona, called Trey Yarche Chada Ona. Meaning, I know that Nara lasts for only 6 months. So here's what we'll say, that in her Nara stage, so the number of times that they were together were 3, distributed over a 6-month period of time. That's all. So we just changed the original assumption, and that's the case over there. Okay. Where do we stand right now? When it comes to A, Ketana Achetich Yamaka, Nara, a Nara Shelo Rasa versus a Nara Shirasa. Nara Shelo Rasa, 4 times. 4 onus. A Nara Shirasa, 1 night, the full night. A Bogeris Shirasa, only Be'ilas Mitzvah, and that's it. That is what we have. That's our conclusion up until now. The Gemara tells the following story. Minyamin Saksana'a have a shock of Azur La'asri Dishmol. So the Gemara tells the story of Minyamin, right? Similar to Binyamin, but slightly different. We've heard a name like that earlier in Shas as well. It's not the first time we've heard such a name. So he went to the town of Shmol, Savar Lamavid Uvde Kavasi Darav. Now he thought that he's going to pass on like Rav. And he's going to marry a wife. She's a Bulgaris. And he was going to be with her for the whole first night. But he misunderstood Rav. Now, I get back to the point that I mentioned earlier. Because Rav, if you look back at the beginning of our Gemara this morning, at the third to the last line on the previous Amud, Amarav, Bulgaris, Nosan, Laila, Rishon, and then Vihani Mile. Now, is that Vihani Mile going back on Rav? Or is that the Gemara suggesting it? Again, as I pointed out, it's not perfectly clear. But over here, he thought this Minyamin, that he's going to pass like Rav, he's going to be with his new wife, who was a Bogeris, and he was going to be with her the whole first night. But meanwhile, she was already Rasa. And the Gemara said, it's either Rav said or the Gemara said it, that no, and she's a Bogeris and she's Rasa, only Bilas Mitzvah, and that's it. So that means to say that he was going to be with his wife when he shouldn't have. Meaning, after Bilas Mitzvah, there is no allowance. Afila Rasa. So Amar lo palig Rav bein Rasa bein lo Rasa. So and now he says that Rav didn't make any such distinction. Now again, I know I'm hitting this point again, but it's an important point. Meaning it could very well be that he believes that Rav himself never made such a distinction, and he believes that the Hani Mili of the Gemara is somebody else making such a distinction, but he didn't think Rav made such a distinction. Anyway, it sounds pretty clear from the Gemara that Rav either he made the distinction or he agrees with the distinction. One way or the other. Minyamin's position was not an acceptable position. And Kadam Shachiv, and he died. Meaning before he was able to violate the Avera. Now keep in mind, by the way, he didn't think he was violating an Avera. He thought that he was being supported by Rav's statement. But meanwhile, Rav didn't say that. And he got a corrupt viewpoint of what Rav thought, or what Rav said. And so therefore he died. I'm sorry, Kadam Shachiv Beorsa. So that night he died before he had relations with his wife, and he didn't violate the Isser. Kari Shmuel led the Rav. Now when Shmuel hears this, so he reads the following pasuk regarding Rav. Lo yunel tzadik kol oven. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the tzadik. And so that nobody is going to commit an avera based on a tzadik. Meaning this person who was going to be with his wife and planning on being with her for the whole first night. So he thought that that's what Rav said. Meanwhile, Rav didn't say that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to protect the integrity of Rav's psak and making sure that no one violated an isser based on something that they misconstrued as what Rav said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed this chassan. I know it seems harsh. I understand that. But the Shmuel points out, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for a tzaddik. Now the Gemara makes another statement which seemingly is totally unrelated. And when a man gets older, nitku shinav shel adam, so his teeth fall out, and ma'atu mezonosav, and also his mezonos diminish as well. Now mezonos over here, Rashi certainly understands, means parnasa, meaning his livelihood. Shenamar gam ani nasati lachem nikayon shinayim bechol arechem vechos alechem bechol makom osechem. And the pasuk Adama speaks about this idea that you get older, your teeth fall out, and just mizonos are harder to come by, meaning it's harder to make a pranasa when you get older. Okay, seemingly, you know, small piece of agadata, seemingly unrelated to the previous sugya. It is unrelated. Same baal memra. I guess that's the connection. Anyway, we continue. We're in Samech Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Rasa va'oda tan rabban. Rasa va'oda bebe savia. Beisil amrim kol alayla shalav v'nosin la ona shlema. V'kama ona shlema. Pirish Rabbi Shimon Gamliel alayla v'chatziyom. Okay. So, she is a Nara. We're at developmental stage number 3 back in the Mishnah. And she is Oda Beves Avia, right? She's in her father's house, and meaning again, she's a Nara. She's under her father's jurisdiction. And so Basil says that when the man marries her, they can be together for the first night, and they give her an Ona Shlema. And they give her a full Ona. Now, that's a funny way to say it. I mean, a full Ona. Meaning, now, I know I already read this, but before I finish reading the Braisa, explaining the Braisa, normally what's an ona? It's a 12-hour period, meaning it's from the beginning of the night to the end of the night. And that's what we assume when the Mishnah meant. Over here in this Braisa, the Braisa speaks in a language that's a little funny. Ona shlema. But what's even funnier is the explanation of the Gemara. V'kama ona shlema, pirish or mishim and gamliel, laila v'chatzi yom. You know, it's the whole night and then it's also half of the next day. That's an ona. No. Up until now, we've been assuming that an ona is either the night or the day. What does that mean, day and a half? That's really unusual. So the Gemara says, first of all, that interpretation of Ona, it seems to be totally untenable. And what the Gemara is going to be doing now, it's going to take us off on a little bit of a detour. But the whole point of this detour over here is that an Ona, we know this already. It's kind of funny that the Gemara has to cite the Gemara here in Avodah Zarah to make the point. But an Ona is either a night or it's a day. This day and a half, what is that? Okay, that's going to be the Gemara's question. And then the Gemara is going to give an answer. And quite frankly, it's going to take almost the next Amud of Gemara to go through this. So, fine. So, me being a Kula Haver, the Gemara says, let's take a look now at our Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And we are discussing a olive press. Now, the olive press, just so you understand, we're talking about the kashering of the olive press. What we're doing on the olive press is we're squeezing olives on the olive press. We're crushing olives on the olive press. But there may be a little bit of heat in terms of, you know, the mashing of the olives, but it's, you know, in other words, we're not cooking anything on it. And so the koshering process is it's easy. Meaning, we will be talking about hagala and boiling, but it's relatively easy because everything is done in cold. And so, v'riminu ha'reishayu gita v'beis badav. We're talking not only about the olive press, we're talking about the wine press and the olive press. Tameos bikish la'asosim b'tahara. So they're tame over here meaning not kosher. And he wants to kosher them. So kesu ro'ose. So what do you do? So hadafma l'lovim v'adashim. So the boards and the husks and the press itself. Okay? Various parts of the olive press. I'm sure everyone here knows. I happen not to. But anyway. So medichin. So all you do is you rinse them off. That's all you need to do. And ha'akalim, as we turn now to the top of the Amud Beis, ha'akalim shalom etzarim, wicker work, the willows, v'shalbitzputz, and the hemp, minagvan. So there you dry them. Okay, so it's more than just a rinse. Okay, it's more like a rinse and a rub. Shel shipa v'shel gemi miyashnan. So the sheep and the gemi. The sheep and gemi are more elastic, and there's more absorption over there. So rinsing them off is not going to get out the non-kosher. So there you got to let it dry out. Miyashna. So how long does it take for it to dry out? Become a miyashna yud beis chodesh. So it takes 12 months for it to fully dry out. Meaning by 12 months already, any residue that's in the cavity of these more elastic materials, so it's going to be totally dried out. Rishim Gamliel Amar Menicha Migat Lagad Umibad Labad. So and Rishim Gamliel says, well, no, you're going to leave it over for the next season. And the Gemara says, what? That's the same thing. That's 12 months. So Hainu Tanakam Ikabeno Charfei Va'afle. So the Gemara says, well, no, and that, yes and no. Meaning it's basically the same thing. It's basically 12 months. It's the next year. But he's based on the season. Well, the next season can be a little bit earlier, could be a little bit later, and so therefore, sometimes it's a little bit more than 12 months, sometimes it's a little bit less than 12 months. Back to the Braiser, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rosh Halatar, Miyad. Let's say I want to take care of this immediately. I want to kosher it immediately. So then, Magil Meroschen, Ocholtam B'Meizesen. So then, you do Hagala with hot water, hot liquid, or Meizesim, or you could use hot olive juice, olive oil, whatever, in order to kosher it. Rishon Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yosef, Menichin Tachas Atzinor, Shemema Mekachin, O B'Mayan, Shemema Rodfim. Or I'll give you another quick fix, if you want to kosher it, and that is, put it under hard running water. So you can either use a spring water, in other words, some sort of pressurized wash. And in doing so, you only need to leave it under there for an ona, and that's another way of quick fixing and koshering the either the wine press or the olive press. Uvekama. Now, how long are you leaving it under there for? An ona, okay? And you're leaving it under there for a full ona, which in a moment we're going to learn is 12 hours. Kedar shamar b'yainesek kachamar b'taras. Now, whatever they said regarding yainesek, they said by taras. So the Gemara says, what just happened over here? Wow, is that confusing? Meaning, we're talking about taharas over here. So, kapalaya b'taharas kaiminam. We're talking about taharas. Ela kedek sh'amra b'taharas kachamra b'yayinesach. Oh, okay, good. Excellent clarification. So, everything that we said regarding taharos, so now we're going to be saying the same thing regarding yayinesach. Meaning, you want a kasher from yayinesach, so this is the same process that we use. V'kama ona, and we quoted all this just to get to this one point. So, amra b'chia b'raba, amra b'yochanan o'yam o'layla. So it's either day or tonight. Rabbi Chana Shuna v'Amrila, Rabbi China Bar Shuna, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chatzi Yom v'Chatzi Laila. Well, it's a half a day and half a night. So the Gemara says, what? Isn't that the same thing? V'Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak v'Lo Pligi Habitkufa Nisan V'Tishrei Habitkufa Tamuz V'Teves. So the Gemara says it is the same thing, but however, it depends on where you are. Are you at the equinox or are you at the solstice? If you're at the equinox, so then good. So then a day is 12 hours, a night is 12 hours. It's 12 hours. But what if you're at the solstice? Right, we're right around the solstice. So what if you're at the solstice? So you want to get to 12 hours, so don't look at a night because it's going to be much less than 12. It's going to be much more, well, I'm in the winter solstice now. So it's much more than 12 hours. And don't look at the day because it's going to be much less than 12 hours. So how do you get to 12 hours? So if you're in the solstice, here's what you'll do. You'll take half the day, you'll take half the night, comes out to 12 hours. Okay, so so the Laila v'chatsiyam kamar. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say the same thing over here? Meaning, we're looking at the amount of time that a husband can be with a wife when she is a Nara and she's a Nara Shirasa. So the Braisa, the Mishnah was very clear. The Mishnah says the first night. But the Braisa on the bottom of our daf today, on the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, says ona shlema, and then the Braisa says, you know what that is? Laila v'chatzi yom. And the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around, what does that mean, laila v'chatzi yom? Meaning, you want to tell me half night, half day? Okay, that's fine. You want to tell me the full night during the equinox? That's fine. This language of the Braisa is really strange. And let me just go back one line. V'ha laila v'chatzi yom kamar. Now the Braisa says laila v'chatzi yom. That's the full night and the half day. It doesn't make any sense. Ella ilayla denisa mitishrei ichati yom vechati layla detevis v'tamos. So the Gemara says, well, it could be that here's what the Braisa means. The Braisa means a night of Nisan, meaning equinox. So it's 12 hours. V'tishrei, also equinox. Ichati yom vechati layla detevis v'tamos. Or if we're at the solstice, so then half the night coupled with half the day. Now it's not a phenomenal reading of the Braisa because the Braisa does not sound that way. And we are reading into the Braisa, but that's one way to possibly read the Braisa. The Gemara says, Ibai Sema, I'll give you another suggestion. Shani Ksuva Demagbe Beitfe Adachasme. So the Gemara says, you know, it takes forever to write a Ksuva. Now, I'm exaggerating. It doesn't take forever, but it takes a really long time. And by the time, meaning back in the day, nowadays we have the Ksuva pretty much prepared, a couple of fill in the blanks, and the Masad de Kedushin, so he goes and he fills in the blanks. Names. It's nowadays doesn't take us that much time, right? Seems like forever nowadays, but we're so impatient. Okay, good. So back in the day, they would be writing the ksuva from beginning to end. And back in the day, it wasn't a standard ksuva. In other words, they were negotiating. And how much is the ksuva going to be? And it could take some time. And when it says it could take some time, so typically the writing of the ksuva would go into the night. And so by the time the ksuva was written, by the time the chasna's over, so they aren't together until, let's say, after midnight. So when we say, Ona Shlema, it's taking into account the amount of time that's already taken up by the writing of the Ksuva and the actual Chasna itself. But really what it comes out to is it comes out to 12 hours. Okay. Back to Agamara. Rav Shmuel Damer Tavai Alacha Bo Bilas Mitzvah Parish. Okay. And now Alach Lamaisa. Now I told you yesterday that after yesterday's daf, so no conclusions yesterday. Okay, don't walk away with any conclusions. There's a lot of information in the Mishnah, but no conclusions. And now here's a conclusion. The Gemara quotes the name of Rav and Shmuel. They both say that the halacha is bol bilas mitzvah parish, that the husband and wife can be together only one time and then separation, because after that point in time, a concern that there's no longer dam besulim, all the dam besulim is exhausted. And any dam from that point going forward is going to be dam nida. So, is it going on which, yeah, right, which of them? L'chora, it's going on everyone. So, Meisav Rav Chista Meisav and Aslam Rabbi Dalayos Mitoch Yud Beis Chodesh. So, so Rav Chista says to Rav and Shmuel, how are you passing that way? Meaning, I'm giving you an episode that occurred with Rebbe. And Rebbe was only one generation earlier. And here's a Nara. And Rebbe allowed her to be with her husband four times. Now again, we spent a good part of today's daf going over what exactly were the circumstances were, that it was four times over the course of the first year. Okay, but be that as it may, you're talking about Bilas Mitzvah and that's it? And meanwhile, one generation earlier, Rebbe allowed four times. So Amalei Rabba, Hadura Pircha Lamalei. So he says, look, it's very nice that you're asking Kasha, and your Kasha is very good. You're running around seeking brisas to ask Akasha. Why are you asking Akasha from a brisa? Go back to the Mishnah. Read the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives allowances for more than bilas mitzvah. So for a katana, ashetech yamaka. For a nara, shelo rasa, dal leilos. For a nara, shirasa, the first night. And over here, you're asking a question from a brisa? Why are you doing that? Just go to the Mishnah. Cite the Mishnah. Esim im es nisen. So who suffer maisa rav? Okay, now as far as Rav Chista is concerned, he still thought the Braisa was better because the Braisa was a Maisa Shahaya. The Mishnah is just giving out information, but it may be a little more theoretical than it is practical. But when you see Rebbe actually paskining, so it's Maisa Rav. Anyway, what do we have right now? A very strong question against Rav and Shmuel. So Mikama Kamla, Rav and Shmuel Kasha. Enu Da'avde Ke Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Braisa obviously is not in accordance with Rav and Shmuel. The Mishnah is not in accordance with Rav and Shmuel. You're right. What do they have? They have another Braisa. Detain the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Rabbi Seinu Chazer v'nimno bo b'las mitzvah paresh. So the Braisa says that, look, even though there was a lot in our Mishnah, but there was, according to this Braisa, a vote, a recount, and an agreement that only b'las mitzvah, and that's it. Amar Ula ki avu be Rav Yochan v'esh lakish b'tinokas. So Ula says that I was learning the Perek of Tinokas. That's our Perek. The Perek of Tinokas in the Yeshiva of Yochanan Reish Lakish. And lo avimaski minei, elik hedemastik tala mi bekarva. Now, how many conclusions have I arrived at? Not a lot. meaning he gives an interesting analogy, like a fox at a field that was already plowed. In other words, scraps, like barely anything. Now, after having learned the Mishnah, and look at the Mishnah with the levels of Kitana, Narish L'Rasa, Narish Rasa, and the Mishnah didn't even discuss Bogeris, and the Gemara discusses Bogeris, and there's so much to discuss in terms of Halach L'Maisa, not much to talk about. Bilas Mitzvah Parish, that's it, that's Halach L'Maisa. Amle Rav Abba, Rav Ashi L'Miata Bal Nefesh, Lo Yigmar Biaso. So the Gemara says, okay, so for a Bal Nefesh. Now, look, here's what we're saying. We're saying that there's a concern that the Dam Basilim is going to be ruptured immediately. Any dam subsequent may in fact be dam nida. So then, if you're a bal nefesh, if you're somebody who has extra yerushamayim, so then what you should do is lo yigmar biaso. You shouldn't even complete the act of bia. So amale hachili imkein liba nofo parish. The Gemara says no. That's an untenable position, because then what's going to happen is that the husband is going to be so concentrating on not violating the isser, so he's not going to even have the act of bia to begin with. And you have to balance between, on one hand, the halacha and the concern for damnida. On the other hand, in other words, they are going to have the bilas mitzvah. So if you say that you shouldn't finish the bilas mitzvah, so then they're not going to have bia altogether. Tana Rabbah. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. The Gemara quotes the Brisa v'kulan shal yushofas damo baos mitoch dal leilos la'achar dal leilos mitoch alayla la'achar alayla kulan tzrichon livdok es atzman. So if a woman, let's say, is now going to be bleeding from a stage where she would have been mutter to a stage where she would have been aser, but there was a continuous flow going from stage of heter to a stage of iser. So what should you do? You should do bedika. You should do a bedika, says the Braisa. So let's say, for example, that we're talking about a narish l'rasa where you have dal lelos, and now the continuation of the bleeding extends from the dal lelos until beyond dal lelos. So, or let's say she's a narish l'rasa, which means that she only is given lila rishon, and she's bleeding from the first night and onward. So you do a bedika. So, and in all these scenarios, Reb Meir was machmer like Beis Shammai. Meaning, if you go back to our Mishnah, you'll know that in each one of these cases, so Beis Hillel takes a more lenient position in terms of allowances of blood coming out and assuming that it's dam basulin. So in all these cases, so Reb Meir is machmer like Beis Shammai and gives a smaller share of time. And as far as the other years are concerned, you follow maridamim. Meaning the Gemara, this Braisa is assuming that there is a difference in both color and texture regarding dam basulim versus dam nida. Rabbi Meir Omer maridamim mishunim hein zemize. The various bloods are different. Keitza dam nida adam dam basulim eino adam. So the dam nida is red. Dam basulim not red. Okay. Now, in terms of the act,
makes sense.
That right? Okay. Damnida zehum, dam basulim eno zehum. The damnida is a little bit dirtier. The dam basulim is a little clearer. Damnida bamin amakor, dam basulim bamin et stadim. In terms of location where it comes from. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan zudev Rabbi Meir. This is all shitas Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim amrim kol maridamim achasim. And the Chachamim say, no, we can make no such determination. We have no way of really determining what the dam is, whether it's dam basulim or dam nida. So this kind of examination just simply doesn't work, because we really don't have either the ability or the Chachamim are arguing that it's not necessarily true. Harder to argue, but whatever the case is. According to the Chachamim, we don't have the ability, I'll say it like the first one, we don't have the ability to really discern one blood from another blood. And so as a result of that, the bedika really is not going to help. And so even though she's bleeding from a state of being tahora to a state of not being tahora, so a bedika is not going to resolve, and we're going to assume that we have to be choshesh that it's now damnida. Okay, let's quickly recap our morning. We start off this morning with a halacha of Rav, that the for Bogeris, if she's rasa, she already experienced menstruation, so then it's just bilas mitzvah parish. That's it for the Bogeris. And then for the first half of our daf today, we try to make sense of a brisa. The brisa said that there was a scenario in which husband and wife got married, and Rebbe allowed for them to be with each other four times over the first year of their marriage. And when exactly, at what stage was she, or what stages was she? Was it a combination of Katana, Nara, and Bogeris? So that created a lot of complication. That was the first half of today's daf. Eventually, what we landed on is that it was a combination of Katana and Nara. One time while she was a Katana, or quite frankly, multiple times while she was a Katana, and three times while she was a Nara. Fine. The Gemara tells a horrific story of Minyamin, who misunderstood Rav was planning on being with his wife for the first full night. She was a Bogeres. She already started menstruating, but he didn't think that there was any such distinction. But meanwhile, Rav held that there was a distinction, and in order to protect the integrity of Rav Psak, so Akash Baruch Hu took his life. The Gemara cites over a Braisa that for a Nara Shirasa, she is given an Ona. The Braisa on the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today says it's an Ona Shlema. What's an Ona Shlema? Day and a half. A day and a half, that's not an Ona Shlema. So after a lot of deliberation, the Gemara ends up on two Pshatim. One, it means an Ona, but if we are at the equinox, it means either the night or the day, in this case night. Or if we're at the solstice, it's half the day and half the night to get to 12 hours. But in other words, it's 12 hours. Or the other possibility is that the Gemara is already taking into account that the chasna, together with the writing of the ksuva, that's going well into the night, and they're not together until midnight. So you're given 12 hours. So when we say yom, laila v'chatzi yom, it means really the second half of the night and the first half of the day. And finally, we discussed the psak of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel say that for every woman in any stage, so it's just bilas mitzvah parish, and that's it. And the Gemara says, and what about the Brisa of Rebbe, and what about the Mishnah, which clearly allows for longer periods of time? So the Gemara says, yeah, but they subscribe to a Brisa. And the Brisa says, nimnu v'gamru, there was a recount, there was a revote. And they said that the new decision of the Beis Din is only bilas mitzvah, and that's it. Is there a way of making any kind of distinction between Dam Nida versus Dam Besulim? Both on its color and on its texture and on its clarity. So there is shitas like that, but the Chachamim say no. We don't subscribe to that.